Well, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're moving right through this book, and we're in our study, of course, this powerful letter written to Jewish believers in the first century. It's a great book because we're seeing Jesus Christ as the Savior, the Messiah, the great high priest who has offered himself as the final sacrifice for sin forever. He is the mediator of a better covenant, the new covenant. And remember, these Jewish believers, they had trusted Christ as Savior. Persecution came, turned away from him, went back under Mosaic law. So the author's goal is to turn them back to God, to help them go on to maturity and to grow. Now, as we continue this evening, we're seeing, I think, one of the most famous chapters in the Bible. It's Hebrews chapter 11. It's often called the faith chapter. Sometimes it's even called the Hall of Fame of Faith, because we have all these listings of these people. And over we see men and women of faith who took God at his word, who believed God and obeyed him, did what he said. Why would the author in the book of Hebrews suddenly, why would he go to this subject? Why would he begin to talk about these believers and how these people trusted God? Well, it's because he wants these believers that he's writing to be men and women of faith as well. They've turned away from God. They're not walking by faith. They're not living by faith. And he wants to remind them and say, listen, I want you to understand, there are a lot of people throughout history who've believed God and done what he said. You can do the same thing. As we look at the passage tonight, as we look at this whole thing, we're going to do several things. Number one, we're going to raise some questions. We're going to talk about faith, like what is faith and how does faith grow and what all that means and what's important about faith and those kind of things. And the second thing we're going to do is we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11. It'll be a little bit further down. Not tonight, we won't get all of this, but we'll see people like Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Joseph on and on and on. We'll see how they believed God by faith. In fact, all the way through, sometimes if you want to, you can start about verse 3, and it says, by faith we understand, by faith Abel, verse 4, by faith Enoch, verse 5, by verse 6, 7, by faith Noah, verse 8, by faith Abraham, by faith, verse 11, by faith Sarah. Over and over and over, all the way through this chapter, we're going to continue to see by faith. And it's pretty powerful. We're going to do twofold thing in our study of our chapter. I call it faith, the truth concerning faith, and then I call it faith in action as we see the lives of the saints. As we see this foundation, the goal is to grow, to encourage each other, as we see the lives of these great men and women of faith. What we're going to do as we go through it, and as we hit these places, we're going to go back to the Old Testament. It'll take us a little bit to go through this study, but we'll go back to the Old Testament to see some of these stories. When it says, by faith Abraham did something, we'll go back there quickly and see what he did do and how he trusted God. So there's a lot of great things we'll see in the weeks to come. Let's begin with prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for tonight and the privilege we have of coming together with fellow believers. And thank you for the song. It was great, great music. Thank you for your grace to us in Christ, that by faith we have eternal life. When we trust in Jesus Christ for eternal life, you save us. And the Christian life is a walk of faith, and we want to do that. And so, Lord, we just ask you tonight that as we think about Hebrews 11, as we see how it all fits together, that we'd have an understanding and be able to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Lord, we just ask you that you would teach us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a guy on television. Some of you have heard of him. It's Kenneth Copeland. He's a TV evangelist. I can quote him because I've got his information. This is what he said. He teaches about faith, and this is what he says. He says, faith is the key in ministry. Faith has a power in itself, is what he says. He says, by faith you can do anything, because what you have to do is by faith name it and claim it. You've heard people say that. By faith I'm going to get that job, and so it's my faith that does it. And it sounds pretty good, but it's wrong. And in fact, we're going to see more later about it. We'll see it. The key to faith, see, is not faith, but the object of our faith. Just believing something does not make it true. We have to go back to the object of our faith. That's the key. Well, this evening, as we continue our study of Hebrews, we move to chapter 11, which is called the faith chapter, the Hall of Fame of Faith. And it's not faith in faith, it's faith in God and His Word. That's the key, and we're going to talk about it as we go through it. We're going to take the time to look at faith and see some great things about the men and women in this chapter as we go through it in the weeks to come. As we study the book of Hebrews, we've been seeing that Jesus is better than anything. We already saw that these Jewish believers trusted Christ, persecution came, started out good, persecution obviously got worse, they turned away, put themselves back under the Mosaic law. And the writer is trying to say, look, you don't need law, you don't need that, you got Jesus, He's better than anything. It's better than the Old Testament law and the the prophets and the priests and the sacrifices and the tabernacles and the covenants. He's better than all of those things. Realize that these Jewish believers were not living by faith. By faith they had trusted Christ, but then they turned away. And they were not living what we call the Christian life by faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, the author wants them to remember. He wants to remind them about other believers who live by faith. That, I think, is the key. And of course, to these people, if you started naming Abraham and Isaac and Sarah and Jacob and Daniel and those, they would all say, "Oh, we know all those. We know every one of those. We know those all our life. That's our Bible. That's our stuff. We know those great Jewish men and women of faith." Well, the writer of Hebrews is really saying, "Now, see all these people? We've got this great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. And since we've got that, what we need to do is get anything out of our lives that's going to slow us down, and let's run the race with endurance, keeping the focus on Jesus, a life of faith." So all of chapter 11 really gets ready for chapter 12. And chapter 11 is reminding these people they can live by faith, because all throughout the history of God and His Word, faith is the key in living a victorious life. And that's what these people aren't doing, and he wants to do it. Let's think about tonight. You know, faith is one of the most important subjects in the Bible. It's the basis for our relationship and our fellowship with God. As far as our relationship, we're saved by faith. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's the basis of that relationship. John 3:18, he that believes is not condemned. He that believes not is condemned already, because he's not believed. So it's the whole idea. And our fellowship, that's our relationship. But our fellowship is a walk of faith. So we're going to think about faith, and we're going to see some things. People say things, and we'll talk about it maybe in a little bit, but people say things like, "Did you really believe?" You ever heard anybody say that if you sincerely believe this? How do you sincerely or unsincerely believe something? You either believe it or you don't. There's no such thing as a sincere faith. It's either faith or no faith. I mean, you either believe it or you don't believe it. People say, "Well, faith moves mountains," so that means faith has its own power. It's the object of our faith where the power is, not our faith. So there's a lot we'll see. Let me give you an outline of what we're going to do for the study. First of all, in Hebrews chapter 11, we're calling it that. The first part of our study is what we're going to see tonight. We're going to get some background. We're going to get a definition of faith. We're going to talk about some New Testament word usage for faith. And then we're going to see four keys of faith. And that'll take us through tonight. I don't think we'll get further than that. But then as we continue, we're going to talk about the importance of faith. That's Hebrews 11 verses 1 and 2. And he talks about that. He says, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen." And we'll talk more about that. Then as we continue the study, we're going to see faith in action beginning in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 all the way to basically verse 40. And we're going to see in verse 3, by faith creation, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham and Sarah, by faith Abraham, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, Joseph, by faith the parents of Moses. We're going to keep going all the way through. By faith the nation of Israel, by faith Rahab, and then others. I mean, we're just going to see it, and he just goes through this. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to take some of these by faith, and we're going to see what these people did and how they trusted God. And this was to encourage these Jewish believers, but I guarantee you it will encourage all of us when we realize that we are no different than they are, and they are no different than we are. God gave them information, and they believed God. God has given us information. It is the Word of God. Do we believe Him? Are we going to trust Him? Are we going to live our lives in a walk of faith? Now, if you notice, and I mentioned it a while ago, you go through chapter 11. It's by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. It gets all the way to the end of the chapter, and then he says, now, since we've got these witnesses surrounding us, these believers who trusted God, then get anything out of your life that's slowing you down and run that race with endurance. Keep your focus on Jesus Christ. That's what he's going to say, and that's the encouragement. We want to be men and women of faith. Well, let's begin. Let's think about faith for a minute. Faith's a topic that we need to understand. The Bible's filled with the subject. Think about this. 390 times just in the New Testament is faith listed. It's faith, belief, or trust. We said earlier that it's very important but concept because it's the key in our relationship and fellowship with God. As far as our relationship, we mentioned a while ago, we're saved by faith. As far as our fellowship is concerned, it's a walk of faith. Colossians 2:6, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. There's a lot of discussion on salvation. dealing with faith. And there's some people say, well, where do works fit in? It is salvation by faith, or is it by works? Or what about growth? And how does a person grow? And what does it mean growing in your faith? And how does all these things mean? Well, what is the key concerning faith? How we view faith will affect our Christian lives as those of us who want to make a difference for Christ. Let me give you first a sort of a definition. Look at Hebrews 11. Look at verse 1. This is how people call it. They say, here's a definition of faith. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Well, I want you to understand, it says, faith is assurance of the hope, the conviction of things not seen. Well, I want you to realize that this is not really a definition of faith. It's a description of faith. Because faith simply means taking something as true. We always say it this way, that faith is taking God at His word. If God says, for by grace you're saved through faith and not of yourselves, by faith I say, that's true. Or when I said, the Bible says, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you get what? Eternal life. By faith I say, I believe I have eternal life. That's what faith is, taking God at His word. Faith is the idea of believing and trusting and relying upon and taking as true. Now, I had, if Freddie, would you put that thing up that had the Greek words? Now, I originally had the Greek words in actual Greek language, and when we transferred it over and tried to put it on our thing, it wouldn't transliterate the words, and so it didn't look good, so I just had to write them in English. Here's some famous Greek words. I just want you to see that these are the words for faith. There's a word called pistis. And it's a noun, and it means faithful or trustworthy. Moreover, brethren, it is required of a steward to be found faithful. That's the word. This was what this means. Then there's another word, pistos, same type words. In fact, they're really the same. It's a noun. This one means faith, belief, or trust. Okay? Then the next one is pistuo. That's the word. It's a verb. It means to believe something, to trust, to rely upon, to be confident, even is what the word means sometimes, a translation. And then there's another Greek word called patho, which is a verb, which means convinced, persuade, to be convinced, to trust. Even in some places, this word means to obey. So those are the basic four big Greek words that are found throughout the New Testament that are translated faith, belief, trust, trustworthy, persuaded. It has all of those ideas. Okay, I just wanted you to see them so that you can see what's all there. Now, when we use we believe things all the time. You know, and I talked about it in my group this morning, the Wednesday morning guys, and we talked about how people say things like really believing and all this, and we don't do that in anything else. Somebody say, did you really believe in Jesus? I mean, we wouldn't say, do you really believe this is a chair? Well, I think I do. I'm not sure I really believe it. I believe that, but I'm not sure I believe it. And there are people that say, you really believe in Jesus? Well, I think I believed in Jesus, but I'm not really sure I believe. And yeah, don't be ridiculous. We don't do anything else like that. Think about it. You go to a restaurant and you sit down and we order a hamburger and some stuff and we get the food. And you know what we do? We eat it and we don't say, I bet it's poison. I bet there's somebody back there that, you know, I wonder who fixed this. And we by faith believe that this food is going to be that we can eat it. Or we go to the doctor and he writes something down that nobody can read, and then you take it to a pharmacist and nobody can read it, and then they give you this medicine with a name that nobody can pronounce, and you go take it. And you believe that you're not going to die when you take this, that it's the right medicine and whatever it is. Or you get ready to go fly somewhere and you get on the airplane and you go sit down and you think that that guy, obviously whoever he is, you don't even know who he is. You saw a bunch of those guys walking by with briefcases and the stuff on their shoulders and hats, and you figure one of those guys is going to get on this plane and fly it, and you believe that that guy's going to fly it. When I was 7 years old, we lived in Vicksburg, Mississippi. And in Vicksburg, Mississippi, there's this big battleground for the Civil War. We got second place. And my hometown got second place. But anyway, I was living in Vicksburg, and they have a big park there from the Civil War. And they have these, they used to have, they're torn down now, but they used to have these towers that went way up. And they were observation towers, and they were built during the Civil War. And during the battles, they got, the guys would get up on top of these towers, and they would look around. Well, when I was little, they still had the towers open, and you could actually go, and it was spiraling. And you'd walk the concrete thing all the way to the top. And when you got to the top, there was this, you'd get out on this kind of a thing, and there was a rail all the way around it. And I can remember being, you know, the thrill was about right there when I was about 7. Of course, now it's about right there. But anyway, and I can remember that we went up that one time, and my brother was my hero. He's 11 years older than me. His name's Tommy. And Tom now. But we were standing there. My mother was right over there. And Tommy said, "You believe I can hold you over this thing? This thing is way up." And I went, "Oh, yeah." So Tommy picked me up and held me out over this thing. And my mother, of course, looked around and went crazy. But, you know, I believed my brother. He couldn't drop me. He was my hero. See, faith is believing, trusting, believing it to be true. Now, that's what you do. That's what faith is. And that's why we're going to see that faith is taking God at His word. Ultimately, faith for us goes back to the character of God. When we say, "I believe God," we're believing that whatever God says is right because of His character. And so we have a written revelation we call the Bible, and we believe it to be true. So when we talk about trusting or faith and all of that, we say salvation is I trust in Jesus Christ. I believe that He died on the cross, that He paid for sin, and He gives me eternal life. That's what faith is. Now, I want you to think about some things, and we mentioned some of these in Sunday school, and we've mentioned them in some other places. So, most of it won't be new to any of you, but just think through it because I think there are things we need to talk about before we actually get into the passage in the next week or two. But there are four keys when you deal with the issue of faith. Okay. And this is, whether it's salvation or whether it's Christian life or anything, it goes back to this. The first one, and this is one you've heard me say many times, number one is faith always has an object. There is an object to our faith. It's always something that you believe. There is a content or an object to what you trust or believe. You can't say, "I believe." The question is, what do you believe? You believe what? You didn't say, "I believe." Believe what? People say, "Just believe." I want to say, "Just believe what? What do you want them to believe?" There's no such thing as a leap of faith. You've heard people say, "Yes, there is. There's a leap of faith." No, no, no. There's always a content. There is always an object to faith. Always. I'll give you the example that people use. There's this man on the mountain at night. I don't know why he's on the mountain. I don't know why it's at night. But he's there, and he's going along the edge of the mountain, and suddenly he slips, and he falls. And as he falls, he grabs a hold to this branch. And he doesn't know how up he is. He doesn't know anything about it. All he knows is he's hanging on the side of a mountain and it's dark. And he doesn't know how far down it is. And he just is there and he goes, "Oh, what can I do? What can I do?" And suddenly this voice comes out of nowhere and says, "There is a ledge 1 foot below you. Just let go and fall on the ledge and you'll be okay." And people say, "That's the leap of faith. See, you just leap of faith." No, no, no. The guy's going to believe what? That voice. There's no such thing as a leap of faith. I remember, this has been a long time ago, but within my first year here, a visitor came to the church. You know, we knew them, and they walked in. I mean, when you got 11, 12, 15 people, you know anybody that comes there that's not normally there. And so I talked to this guy who came, and he said, "I'd like to talk with you sometime." And so we met at Ron's Hamburgers, and we were sitting there talking, and the whole issue of faith came up, and I talked about this. He said, no, faith is a feeling. It's not in an object or anything. I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "See," I said, "well, how do you know something is right?" I said, "How do you know something is either right or wrong?" He said, "I can feel it in my stomach." I said, "So the object of your faith is your stomach." And it is. See, there's something that in everything that we say we believe, there is an object or a content to whatever you believe. So it's always that way. And there's no such thing as a leap of faith. There has to be an object. That's why, look at Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance of the thing hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's a substance. The word assurance actually means a substance or a title deed. It is the title deed of things we look forward to. It says, faith is, here's this content, and you say, "I believe that." You remember we said that when it says hoped for, in the Greek word hope, elpis, doesn't mean hope like I hope I go to the game. It means an eager anticipation of something that is assured. And so when it says faith is the assurance of something that's assured, is what he's really saying. we say, I hold to that. That's my conviction. He says, the conviction of things not yet seen. So there is an object that you trust or a content that you believe. It's always that way. If you say, I believe, now I'm saved, I'd say, what did you believe or who did you believe? To say, just believe and you're saved, I'd say, believe what or believe who? What are we saying? Okay, that's the first one. Okay, we'll have some time for questions if you want to. The second key thing about faith is the object of our faith is the Word of God. That's the object of our faith. As our basis of what we believe is God's Word. God has made Himself known. He has revealed Himself. It is truth. It is a written form. That's why Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of Christ or the Word of God, just according to your translation there. And so we hear it. The Word of God is the key so that we believe for salvation. So what we believe about our Christian life and how we live. If I were to say, I have eternal life, how do I know that? Because I believe the Bible that tells me when I believe in Christ as Savior, He gives me eternal life. That's all in the Word of God. John 10:28, Jesus tells me in His Word, I give you eternal life and you will never perish. I believe that. Now, I wasn't there when Jesus even said that. But I believe God's Word. The object of my faith goes back to the Word. I believe that He will meet every need that I have. Philippians 4:19. I believe that God will be able to do anything He wants to through me. And I can do that. Philippians 4:13. I believe that Jesus Christ has seated the right hand of the Father, that He's preparing a place for me, and He's going to come back and get me. Why? Because that's what the Word tells me. So the object of our faith is the written revelation. That's the key. Now, there are a lot of people who get off into other things and they say this and this and this. But the bottom line is we have, as Peter says in 2 Peter, a more sure word. It is the Word of God, a written revelation that we go back to. That's why it says all Scripture is inspired. Revelation in written form is called inspiration. That's the Word of God. So, we see that, first of all, faith has an object. Second is, the object of our faith is God's Word. There's a third thing, and you've heard me say this many times. It is not the amount of faith that is important, but the object of our faith, which is important. It's always the object, not the amount. I can put all my faith in this chair to get me to heaven. We'd say, that's stupid. Yeah, because we already know this chair is not a savior. But I can say, look, I've got all the faith I can muster, and I put it in Buddha. I put it in this chair. I put it in myself. And see, for a number of years, the object of my faith was my good works. I said, if I do more good than bad, I'll go to heaven. So the object of my faith was my works. It's not how much faith I had in my good works. It's what I had as the object of my faith. And see, the key is, what are we putting our faith in, or who are we putting our faith in? If I said, I put all of my faith in Buddha, and I sincerely believe it, do I have eternal life? It doesn't matter how much I believe it. It doesn't matter because He's not a Savior. But if I put, as Jesus said, faith as small as a grain of mustard seed in Jesus Christ, am I saved? The answer is yes. It's the object of my faith that saves me, not the amount of faith that I have. There are people who teach that faith has a quality on its own. I mentioned a while ago Kenneth Copeland. I want to give you a couple of quotes from him to show you what he means by this. He said this. He says, when you read in the Bible that the gospel was given to the poor, he says that the gospel is that Jesus has come and people don't have to be poor anymore. By faith, they can be rich. By faith, I'm quoting, by faith, they can believe and it will happen. Now, that's what he says faith is. Faith is a power. Listen to this. I got one other quote by him. He says, faith is a spiritual force, a spiritual energy, a power, a force of faith which makes the spiritual world to function. He says, it's faith that causes it all. No, it's not. It's the object of our faith. It's not because I believe it that makes it true. It's whatever I believe in that decides. And that's the difference. The key in faith is the object of our faith. People use terms like saving faith. They say, did you have saving faith? As if some reason that there's saving faith and non-saving faith. It's not faith. It's the object of the faith. And that is a key. You hear people say like head faith and heart faith. Have you heard people say that? Who's heard that? What in the world does that mean? Listen, all believing is done where? Right here. So the idea of saying that there's some kind of emotional faith that's better than just an intellectual faith, all faith is intellectual. You believe with your mind. In the Old Testament Hebrew idea of the heart is the mind. As a man thinks in his heart, that's his mind. You don't think in your heart. You think in your inner part of you that is your mind. You can really believe something with all your heart and all of your soul and all of your quality, and you can be sincerely wrong. I had a good friend when I was in seminary, and he sat down with me one day. We were in class right before class started. He said, you're not going to believe what's been happening. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, my wife's daddy has come to live with us. And he's not been doing very good. And so we took him to the doctor, and the doctor gave us these pills. And we weren't watching. We thought we were supposed to give him three pills a day. One when he ate breakfast, one when he ate lunch, and one when he ate supper. And so we started giving them to him. And we noticed that he got worse and worse. And pretty soon he said he's so tired he couldn't eat. And one day he was sitting down to eat, and he just fell over on the table right in his food. And we had to take, and we put him in the bed. And he said, I've got to the point where I can't even get up anymore. And we said, what are we going to do? So we called the doctor, and we said, listen, we don't know what's happening, Dad. He seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. He can't even sit up anymore. And the doctor said, well, are you giving him the medicine? Yes, we're giving him three pills a day. He went, three pills a day? No, it's one pill every 3 days. And they were just drugging him out, you know. And see, they thought they were right. If you said to them, are you giving your daddy the medicine? He's, oh, yes, we're faithfully. You believe this medicine's going to help him? Oh, yes. No, they missed it. And we can be sincerely wrong, because it's not how sincere we are. It's the object of our faith. That's the key. Now, people also say, well, what about faith growing? Your faith can grow. As the object of your faith grows, the more of the Word of God that you know and that you can believe, then greater is your faith in that sense. So it is true that your faith can grow, because the object of your faith continues to grow as you know more and more God's Word. There's a fourth thing, and that is faith brings God's approval. God is pleased by faith. Hebrews 11:2, look what it says. By faith, the men of old gained approval from God. Look at verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Faith pleases. What is wrong with this? Is it getting worse? What happened? Okay, we're okay. I believe you're going to make it just right. I have faith in you there. Okay, so by faith we gain approval. By faith we please God. By faith in Jesus Christ, salvation. By faith in God and His work and the power of the Holy Spirit, there's a walk of faith. I love 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 says, we know how we ought to walk in faith and please Him. Walking in faith pleases God. So four principles. First is faith always has an object. Second, the object of our faith is the Word of God. Third, the object is the key, not the quality or the quantity of faith. It's the object. And fourth, faith pleases God. A definition of living by faith is taking as true the principles and truths of God's Word, applying them in our lives, which is pleasing to God. Hebrews 11 is faith in action. By faith, Abel did something. By faith, Enoch did something. By faith, Noah did something. By faith, Abraham did something. We're going to see that that's the key. It's taking God at His Word. Let me give you some applications and we'll open it up for questions. The first one, or the thing that we tie in is, let's base our lives on the Word of God. Because that's the key. Because what is it? A. The object of our faith is the Word of God. If we're going to be men and women of faith, we have to go back to the object of our faith, which is the Word of God. Faith always has an object. It's not the sincerity. You want to be sincere, and it's not the amount or the quality or the quantity and all of that. It is the object of our faith, which is the key. We must know the Word of God. We must study to show ourselves approved. A workman need not be ashamed, handling accurately the Word of God. And let me tell you, the more you know of God's Word, the more you can believe in God's Word, and your faith will grow in that sense, and you'll be men and women of faith. So the object of faith is the Word of God. I think B is let's please God in our lives, and the only way we can do that is a walk of faith. As he says, by faith, by it men of old gained approval, and without faith it's impossible to please God, so we want to please Him. It's not easy in a world that pulls us away from God, putting our eyes on the world and self rather than Christ and His Word. So, think about this. Living by faith is to take the truths and principles revealed by God in His Word, applying them in our lives, which ultimately is pleasing to God. There's some great things. Let's pray and we'll open up for questions. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage, or just the thoughts of faith. And tonight, as we didn't really get into Hebrews 11, but just the things that we see about faith and knowing that it always has an object, and it's the Word of God which is the object of our faith, and that's the thing that counts. And we thank you, Lord, that faith pleases you. When we live by faith and we obey you and live by your Word, we're men and women of faith. Thank you, Lord. Lord, help us as we think about this to make application, and as we think about these truths, that we would think through them, especially if it's something different than we've heard before. Help us to put it together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.